Amazing Grace was just fine because if you listen to the words, it is amazing what God does for us. About 25 years ago, maybe longer than that, the Ruth class of our church, which is no longer in existence because all those members have passed away, started a ministry through our association. They go twice a year to A&M. One time we feed a meal, and we're accompanied by another church, and that church is... I can't think of it. But Franklin, right. And that is Nina Lou's sister's church, Nina Lou McKeag. And so we both partner, but they bring cakes and we bring a meal, and then we bring cakes and they bring a meal. But this past Wednesday we went, and the youth minister at the BSU, I still call it BSU because you can tell how old I was because that's what it was called when I was there, at that same place, 50-some-odd years ago, we were there. 56 years ago, we were there at college. Anyway, he got up and talked about a Spanish girl that had come to the free meals. It's a big sign on campus, free meals Wednesdays, because different churches does it. And he said this girl came. She was not saved. None of her family was saved. And through these ministry at the BSU and having Bible studies, small groups, and also eating there, she came to know the Lord. And that just touches my heart to no end. She went, and her sister now has been saved. Her mother and father are not saved, and she is taking home a Spanish Bible. And she and her mother are reading this Bible. Now, if that doesn't touch your heart and what God can do just for you, by giving your tithes to this church, we use those tithes. That's part of our budget. Donna fixes a fabulous meal. Everybody is so excited when we come because we have brisket. They usually get a sandwich or a casserole or something, but we always bring brisket. And I got to sit with some Chinese girls and also some American girls when it was our turn to sit down and eat. And she was saying how she had come to know the Lord through the BSU and how she participates. They teach, I believe, Mandarin there, and she had prepared some food, and we had a girl lady that sat across from us that does not know the Lord, and she had a student telling her what Easter's about. And so that just warms my heart, because that's what Amazing Grace is all about. God reaches out for everyone, and thank you all for everyone who always, when we have the call out for to come serve, when we have the call out to come bake cakes, you are so willing. It's a pleasure to always get to go and ask those kids where they're from. You know, they'll say, I'm from Belleville. Do you know where that is? I said, yes, I'm from Waller. So thank you, church. We appreciate it.
We'll go ahead and dismiss kids to Children's Church, and then we'll have an invitation, and we'll go home, because that was good preaching right there. All right. Well, I want to thank y'all for being here today. We've been talking the last 3 weeks about grace. About 3 weeks ago, I kind of said, man, I've had an encounter with grace, through some retreats I had done, and kind of had this... A pastor who said this phrase to me that just really caught me off guard, that said, you know, church is all about breathing in the grace that God has given us and then going out into the community and breathing that grace back out to them. You know, as I was thinking about that and as we're heading towards Easter, you know, I was just thinking about what does it mean to breathe in the grace of God? I heard a pastor one time and he said, let me give you a description. He said, what do you call a group of lying, cheating, greedy, covetous, lustful, tax-dodging, racist, jealous, judgmental, lonely, angry people who eat too much, spend too much, drink too much, medicate too much, worry too much, smoke too much, who gather together because they believe in Jesus is the light of the world and they need more light? You call that the church. Now isn't that interesting? You know, as I read over that, I said, well, that just hit about everybody. A lot of times when we think of church, we want to say we're better than other people. And we kind of get that thought of, well, I go to church. You know, and there's other people out there that don't go to church. You know, as I was driving in this morning, you know, I saw people that were out working in their yard, I guess, to beat the rain or something like that. And I was kind of going, oh, they're not going to church, you know. And there's just that thing about us sometimes that we kind of get that thought that we're a little bit better than other people, maybe. That we have something, you know, that's more about us that makes us just in the weight of weighing things out. And here's the problem, is that this is the truth right here. We're a group of liars and cheaters and greedy people, and we're covetous and we're jealous and we eat too much and we drink too much. But there's one thing that we have that they may not have, and that's the grace of God. And that grace that covers those things. And it's not us, it's the fact that God loved us so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us so that his grace could cover all those things. And if we don't realize this, then sometimes we forget how much we need the grace of God. We need to come in and breathe the grace of God. Grace is the reason that a whole bunch of imperfect people can get together and worship God, right? That's the reason. Grace is like the oil in the machine. If it wasn't for grace, we would come in here and we would just rub up against each other and we'd get so angry and mad. We wouldn't be. But because we are here because of the grace of God, we're able to be a church and we're able to serve. We're able to do other things. Someone said one time that grace is really only understandable when there's a relationship. If there's no relationship, there's no grace. No grace is needed. It's only in the context of relationship that grace becomes important. In fact, you know, God's grace isn't that amazing, if I can say that. It's not that amazing if we don't receive it. If there's no relationship between us and God, God can't take this incredible grace and give it to us. So only in the context of my relationship with God is God's grace suddenly the most amazing thing ever, that a perfect God would look down on a sinful person and say, in spite of that, I love you, and I'm going to send my son to die for you. That's when it becomes amazing. Let me say this to you, that you are the most amazing when you extend God's grace to other people. Isn't that interesting? You're the most like God that you can possibly be. Not when you're living a perfect life, but when you're extending grace to other people. Grace is an invitation to you to be amazing. God is sitting on his throne right now going, I'm inviting you, Waller Baptist Church, to be amazing. And this is how you do it. You share the grace of God with others. We should absolutely be ecstatic about sharing grace. You know, if we fully grasp how much grace is poured on us, if we come in here on a Sunday and just breathe in and go, God, you know, I know exactly what kind of person I am, but you have just poured your grace on me. I should be going out going, who can I share this with? But we have trouble sometimes, right? Sharing grace with others isn't always easy. Last week we had Carol Doty up here, and we had Becky Fox up here, and we kind of they were sharing about some really hard people, some people really different than us, that they're out sharing grace on, and you know, not to bring down anything they said, but in a way, sometimes sharing grace with hard people that you know, that we just go out and we meet and we just share the grace with, sometimes that's easier than sharing the grace with the people in our lives? Do y'all have people that it's hard to share grace with? Maybe your husband or your wife, maybe your neighbor, maybe your kids, maybe someone at work. These people, you just kind of go, man, they're just really hard to share grace on. Jesus spoke about this in Matthew chapter number, let's see, I think it's 7. Let me make sure I'm saying that right before you turn anywhere. Yeah, Matthew chapter 7. There's just a real interesting passage. And in that passage, Jesus says some pretty hard, harsh things about ungraceful Christians. And if you don't read it right, you might misunderstand it. So let's look at it. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus starts with this interesting phrase, "Do not judge." Now some of us would kind of go, good. Good. I can live with that. Let's don't judge others. I'll do my thing. They'll do their thing. Let's not do that. He continues to say, don't judge or you too will be judged. And in that, some of us are going, good, I don't want to be judged. I don't want someone looking at me and telling me something else about myself. I don't want that. And he said, but Jesus didn't stop there. He didn't just say, don't do it. He said, let me give you some ideas here. He said, for in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. At which time, if we're thinking about it, we're going, well, not that I don't want to judge other people, but how do I want to be judged? What measure do I want used on me? See, I don't think God's saying don't judge here. If that's so, here's what God's saying. He said, there's a whole bunch of hurting people out there. Y'all get in your church and just stay real close. Don't go out there and get into a relationship with anybody hurting. Don't go out there and go, oh, no, you Christians, y'all stay in here. Let those stay out there. Now, here's what Jesus is saying, I think, and I think we'll see it in just a second. He's saying, go out, but the way that you judge others is important. The way that you look at them, the measure you give. And so in the next verse, he says this, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank or the wood, the log that is in your eye? Now, this one makes me mad a little bit. Y'all have heard this one before, right? You've heard this, where Jesus said, look, he said, why are you so worried about the speck in someone else's eye? Now, I will say this, we should be worried about the speck in other people's eye. Have you ever had something in your eye? Oh, I hate that. I mean, I used to have contacts. You ever had one of those suckers fold up and get up in the corner of your eye? And, you're just crying and you can't drive. And, you're just kind of, it's not that we're not supposed to care that people in our society have something that's making their vision incorrect. Yeah. Vision's important, isn't it, Doc? I mean, vision is important. It's the way that we can see how the world, and we have a world out there with people with specks in their eyes, and they need somebody to care about them. They need someone to judge. Hey, there's something in your eye. But Jesus said, before that you can do anything about that, you got to get that plank out of your eyes. Now, this is where, like I said, this bothers me a little bit, because, I want to say, first off, Jesus, you don't know my story, right? This person that you're referring to that has the speck in their eye, I wouldn't really call it a speck, God. This is a pretty big deal that they've got, God. You don't really want me to get into a relationship. I mean, what they have is more than just a speck. This little brush off you did, Jesus, of saying, don't worry about the speck. Yeah, let's talk. This person, here's what they've done to me. This person, this relationship I have, this family member, this neighbor, this work, they've done something. And it rises way above speck level. Jesus, if you just knew my story, if you you just knew my story, if you just knew what my dad had done to me, if you just knew what my spouse had said to me, if you just knew what this, you know, you would understand that's not a speck. It's not. But on the second hand, you know, when he starts talking about the log in my eye, right, we get a little bit offended. You know, we kind of go, well, you know, I might have a speck in there. But really, a log? You know, I don't have a log, God. Maybe you've got that reversed. Maybe don't worry about the log in my neighbor's eye until I like that better. I like that. You know, I'll come help you get your log out. I got a little speck in here, but that's okay. But I think what Jesus is saying is that we do have things in our life that we're holding on to and we're not dealing with. There's things in there. I wrote down some things of how we handle sin and hurts and pains and things that have happened to us. These planks that we have in our eyes. These are the things that God wants us to hand to Him and allow Him to pour His grace over. He wants us to have to bring the measure of grace on our planks. But here's what we do instead. We defend them. Do y'all ever do that? I'm bad about it. You know, we kind of say, we explain it away. Well, yeah, I've got that in my life, but here's the reason I do that. You know, the reason I do that, if I didn't do that, then these three things wouldn't get done. It's okay. You know, there is a purpose for these things I have in my life. We defend it. We fake it. You know, come to church. You know what? There's nothing wrong with me at all. I'm just doing good. You know, let me tell you about how good I'm doing. You know, yes, praise the Lord, amen. And we act like it's not there. We fake it. We fake it. Defend it, fake it. Some of y'all hide. You know, you're doing the same thing the fakers are doing. But instead of being extroverted about it, you just find your little corner. Maybe if I don't say anything to anybody, nobody will know this stuff that's inside me. So you hide it. Maybe we exaggerate some of the other stuff in our life. Let me tell you the people I shared with. Let me tell you the people I told Jesus about. Let me tell you the stuff, all the good stuff that's going on. Let me exaggerate that so that my plank, you can't see it, you know? Maybe we blame others. Anybody do that? Well, you know, the reason I do that is because they did this. That's how I handle my planks. I'm just going to blame Travis. If Travis hadn't done that to me, I wouldn't, and it's all his fault. Might as well, Travis, you're sitting there. Maybe we just downplay it. Y'all do that to your sin? You know, it's just normal. Everybody else is doing it. That's not a big deal. We are a people of grace. And God said, I can handle every one of your sins. And it's not that I'm going to pretend it's not there. It's not. He said, I sent my son to die for those sins so that they could cover them. So that you could feel my grace. So that you could use the power of the gospel to start coming away from that. But instead, we hide it and we downplay it and we defend it and we exaggerate it. Look, I want you to know that God gives you grace in spite of yourself. He sees exactly who you are and He loves you anyway. You don't have to hide any of it. You don't have. I know that's hard for us, but you don't have to hide any of it because God considered it all and said, I'm going to send my son to die for that. And we live this life of going, you know what? I'm not going to open that part up. And the problem with that is the measure that we get is the measure that we give. And so we're not receiving grace. And these planks are blocking God's grace. And then when we turn and look at other people, we're seeing the same thing. We're seeing, oh, they've got these things. They need to work on that. They need to defend that. They need to hide that. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Y'all know that verse. Romans 5, 8 says, but God demonstrated his own love for us in this, while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. I think you can futurize that. While we are still sinners now, Christ died for us. While, you know, God is saying, you've got to be honest with yourself of what you've got. Allow his grace to come in to help you move past that. It's not about being nicer. It's not about recommitting. It's not about being sweeter or kinder. It's about grace. It's about seeing us the way that God sees us. You know, when we have the wrong understanding of us, it plays out on other people. I'll throw in this joke. It was my favorite joke as a kid, but I think it connects in some way. It's not politically correct, so you can fire me, I guess. I don't think anybody in here has some of the same issues. But I heard this story one time of this guy, and he had a wooden eye. A wooden eye. I don't know if we have any wooden eye people in here. But because of his wooden eye, he was very socially, kind of reserved. He didn't want to get out there. You know, he knew that people were looking at his wooden eye. And so, you know, he'd work through this. He talked through some people. And finally, he's at this dance. And he's, you know, it's kind of got him worked up. I'm going to ask somebody to dance. And so, you know, he's afraid that if he asks them, you know, they'll say something about his wooden eye. But he says, I'm going to get through it. And sure enough, he's sitting there and he looks, and in the back of the room, this beautiful girl walks in. Now, she did have one problem. She had a peg leg. And so, you know, the girl with the peg leg comes in, and the guy with the wooden eye goes, hey, I'm going to ask her. And he just works up the courage, and he goes up to her, and, you know, and she's kind of got the same thing going, right? You know, she's going, nobody's going to ask me because of my peg leg. And she said, why am I here at this dance? But, you know, at the same time, the wood eye guy. And so he finally goes up to her, and he said, ma'am, he said, would you like to dance? And she said, would I? And he said, peg leg, peg leg, peg leg. Saw that one coming, didn't you? Yeah, here's the point, though. Yeah, he had something that he hadn't dealt with. And as soon as she said something else back to him, he read into it, right? The things that we carry cause us to read into the actions and things of other people in a huge way. And as we can start removing those things of ourselves, then suddenly we can hear people the way we're supposed to hear them. We can see them the way. I mean, I love what Jesus said here. He said, how can you say to your brother, let me take that speck out of your eye when all the time there's a plank in your eye? He said, you hypocrite. That's a hard word. But what he was saying is you're saying one thing like, you need to fix that, but there's something in you that's not fixed. And he says, you're being a hypocrite. He said, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then watch this. Then you will see clearly. You'll see clearly. You know, if I can breathe in God's grace, then I can extend God's grace without being confused by my misunderstanding of people because of my defending and my hiding and my blaming and all those other things. I mean, we just got to be a people of grace. Planks get in the way of God's grace. I guess your question today is, what's your plank? Are there things in your life right now that you're not letting God's grace cover? And is that affecting your relationship with other people? the challenge for us is to see others how God sees us. Wouldn't that be powerful? And we want to say, oh, let's see others the way God sees them, but it's got to start here. If I can see how God sees me, his child, forgiven, loved in spite of these problems that I have, sending his son to die for me, sending his spirit to teach me how to work through those things, oh, and in just the beauty of his grace covering it all. If I can see me like that, then maybe I could see you like that. The more I'm aware, the more aware I am of what God is yet to do in me, the more aware I am of what God is yet to do in me, the less aware I am of what God is yet to do in you. The more I understand how much grace I need, the easier it is for me to extend grace. When you think of just the beauty of God, when you think about how brokenhearted God was and is at our sin, that this perfect Creator looks on our sin and is just so brokenhearted, but although he was more brokenhearted over sin than he was offended by it. Because he should be offended, just like we're offended at other people. But in the middle of him being unbelievably offended by our sin, God said, I love you. I love you. Have you ever noticed that when Jesus was here on earth, he wasn't so much bothered by sinners. He ate with sinners. He went to their house. We've talked about that before. People who weren't like Jesus liked Jesus. And Jesus liked people that weren't like him. Jesus didn't have issues with sinners. He had trouble with people who embraced graceless religion. You look at it, and it's these Pharisees that had no grace, were Jesus' enemies. Those who sin, Jesus said, that's why I'm here. Let me help you. Let me give you the grace. Let me take what you deserve. And now we can deal. John said this. He said, when Jesus was here on this earth, we talked about this 2 weeks ago, he was full of grace and truth. I like that picture of being full. Because, you know, I'll do this sometimes. I'll fill my glass too full. You ever done that? And it's like right at the rim, and you're trying to carry it somewhere. When you have a full glass, what happens when you get bumped? Yeah, what's inside spills out. And if Jesus was full of grace and truth, whenever he met someone, whenever he bumped into someone, whenever there was tension, what spilled out? Grace and truth. What are we full of? What are we full of? When you hit people in your life, when you bump into them, is grace spilling out? Or is something else spilling out? And if it's not grace, then maybe you got some planks, some things that are blocking the grace of God filling you up so that you can spill out onto other people. That's your challenge this week. Your challenge this week is simply to ask God, could you refill my planks to me? Can you show me, God, where things are blocking? Because there's a lot of times I don't feel graceful. We're walking into Easter. I've been asking you every day to pray for a lost person. Pray for somebody in your life that's disconnected from God. Allow your grace just through prayers to spill out onto them. And I don't know how excited I am about that. There's been some days I've missed. How about you? Here's what I want you to just ask. Why aren't we excited about praying for lost people? Maybe it's because I've got some planks. Now push through it. I got your sheet out there again. It's just sitting at the visitor table. Some prayers that you could pray this week. As we put out signs, as we put these little egg bites on people's doors, as we've got, you know, things going up in the community to say, come into our church and hear about a God that loved you so much. 2,000 years ago, he sent his son to die on a cross to fill you with grace, to cover you. We want to invite him in here for that. No, we don't want to invite him in here to a graceless religion where we'll judge him. So we got a little work to do in the next 2 weeks. Get excited about sharing grace. Ask God just to show you those places. And let's be the church in Waller, Texas that God wants us to be. Let's pray. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I just want to thank you again for just your love. God, just how many times in a day I mess up. And God, how many times in a day that incredible price that you paid just spills out on top of me. God, I ask you just to stir our hearts to love other people. Not to say it's okay what they're doing. Not to ignore what they're doing. But God, to share the same grace that you've given us with them. And Father, I know that there's people here who are hurting. God, I know there's people that... there's just some evil people out there in this world. So God, you're going to have to give us the strength and the courage and the boldness to share grace in some really hard spots. And God, right now I ask that you just come into this room. Father, help us just to feel you here. And God, just let us take that out into our communities. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.